Welcome everybody to episode 11 of Electronic Talks podcast. The guest today is running none less than three labels, one called Sand Records, one called Parable, and the newest one, which is Wash Records. He has been doing collaborations. He has a great solo career, but also has been doing collaborations with artists such as Carly Lekebusch, Niha Thule, and Jesper Dahlbeck in the duo format as Swedish Non-Boys. And the guest today is none other than Nima Kak. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. Yeah? Just a quick little correction. I mean, I release music on Parable.
Right.
Yeah. But the label is run by Joel Mull and Linda Nilsson.
Very true. Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Yes. And very nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
I'm glad you could come. You have been one of our most coveted guests from the start. So very happy about that.
Glad to be here.
Yes. And I think maybe we could start talking a little bit about just your music. And one thing that I'm always interested in knowing is a little bit about your inspiration. Like what got you into this, the music that you're making?
Well, I mean, so it depends. I mean, if we're talking about what got me into the music scene, I think it was just, curiosity. When I heard the, electronic music for the first time when I was like 14, 15, I mean, that took over my whole world. It was something that was immediate, like instant love.
Yes.
But actually, what inspires me today is more, emotions, feelings, interactions, dance floor, the scene, everything could be an inspiration, happy thoughts, sad thoughts, anything.
And you've been quite like an avid traveler, haven't you?
Yeah.
Would that be correct?
Yeah.
Yes. And would you say that travels are a big inspiration as well when it comes to getting ideas and...
So, of course, the traveling itself is maybe not the essential thing, but, meeting people, coming to new places, getting new inputs and new inspirations is, of course, it's a huge part of it.
Mm. Yeah. And going from your origins, when you started releasing music, that was about around 2004, is that correct?
Yeah, that was the first release came out 2004.
Yes. And can you tell us about the first release a little bit, just how that happened and how you slipped into that?
Sure. So, 2004, I was a student. I was studying at the university in Norrköping, Linköping University. And, it just happened to be that at that same time, there was a lot of people, like-minded people living there. It was me, it was Niha Thule. My friend Lasse Mann, who actually released the first release together with him.
It was exactly.
Back then we were just young students, making beats and sending them to each other and enjoying the process of writing music. I mean, all of it was kind of new in some sense. We ended up making a few tracks that we felt that we liked ourselves and started sending them around. And it was this small German label who picked them up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. And previous to that, you had been quite engaged or inspired by the Stockholm rave scene. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I started going out to raves and parties in Stockholm like late 90s. Mm-hmm. And I was in love immediately. I mean, that was my scene. I really loved it a lot. And beginning when I started writing music, I didn't even have any thoughts around like I want to have this released, or I was just so curious about the fact that I could do music. I mean, that was just enough. I didn't even think about the thoughts like, oh, I want to have this released on this or that label. Like those thoughts were not even there. It was just wow, I can write music. This is amazing.
That's the joy of being able to express yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, before that, I my thought was like, music is written by, very serious musicians in expensive studios with guitars and, pianos and drums and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden I was like, oh, wait, anybody can do this? Can I just download this software into my computer and start writing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That must have been a great feeling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I loved it. It was just this, you know, curiosity part of it. I didn't really have any thoughts about how it should be done or any. I mean, back then you didn't have YouTube tutorials to go through. No. It was just, you know, clicking around and trying to find out what you can do. So it was, yeah.
Just exploring.
Exploring, exactly. And I loved that.
Mm. And did something change when you released the first record with Lasse Mann on this little German label in 2004? Did you feel like some kind of door was opening, or how did things change for you?
So, I mean, well, in some sense, obviously, when you release your first music, basically, you, for the first time, somebody else is giving their stamp of approval in some sense, right?
Yeah, true.
Before then, I like my track, but I mean, who knows, is this even ready to be released? So in some sense, that was a first step into like, okay, maybe I can do this. But I think what even more encouraged me to continue was when I did my first real solo EP that I released on Kari Lekebusch label.
Oh, right.
Yeah, H Productions. And because, I mean, Kari was a huge inspiration for me. Just seeing him playing, I mean, this was long before we were friends or I knew him.
Late 90s kind of, right?
Yeah, exactly. So when he thought, yeah, this is great music, and I remember the email he sent me like, yeah, I like this a lot. I definitely want to release it. I couldn't believe it almost. So then I really thought, yeah, man, this is something I can actually do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Excellent. And also one thing about your music is I always feel it's kind of hard sometimes, but it's also meditative at the same time. I would say it's quite deep in some sense. Right. How did you feel that you developed this sound? Like, where did it kind of come from inside of you?
Right. So, I mean, when I write music, I try to, my thought is that I want to express an emotion, and I want that emotion to travel through the frequencies and sound waves to another person. Somebody somewhere else in the world who's never seen me, never talked to me or anything, can hear that song and in some sense get the feeling I was trying to express.
Exactly.
So that's very much my thought process around it. But at the same time, it's still a lot about just being curious, exploring different ways to do music, different, So I mean, yeah, I would say that's probably how I do it, or how I think about it, at least.
Mm-hmm. And following up on that, kind of, what was the thinking when you started Sand?
Right.
What was the kind of origin idea of it, and could you tell us a little bit about the releases that you wanted to release in the beginning?
Sure. So Sand, I started Sand when I was feeling that I'd come to a certain place in my career. I thought, you know, I had an idea that I wanted to be able to do something that is more than just for one record. It's an idea that would go over several releases to try to capture really the essence of my sound, the essence of my, you know, my musical philosophy, if you want to. I mean, it sounds a bit too much maybe, but when I had the first two releases done, I really felt like, okay, yeah, this is actually this is an idea that is starting to form that I really want to have a complete ownership of. I wanted to be able to form the music the way I wanted to. I wanted to be presented the way I wanted to, yeah, really like have the whole idea from beginning to the end.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of the reason why I started Sand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then one of the earlier releases was also one of your collaborations with Jesper Dahlbeck, right? The Swedish non-voice.
Yeah.
And could you tell us a little bit about how you kind of met and started working together, for those who don't know?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, so if Kari was the guy who really gave me the self-confidence basically to continue to do this. I think with Jesper Dahlbeck, I mean, he's been both a mentor and my, you know, one of my best friends. I really, really, you know, admired his music way before we knew each other. And it was just, in some sense, kind of an accident that we started to working together. I mean, I had a studio in a different place, but for different reasons, I didn't want to stay there. And so I reached out to Jesper. I had already released the music on his label, so we knew each other, but still not that personal. And I just emailed him because I knew that he was running the Globe Studios in Stockholm.
Oh, right.
And it just happened to be that right at that time it was a room that was available there, so I moved in there and I've been sitting at Globe now for, I don't know, 11, 12 years or something like that now.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, we just start, and I mean, our process has always been like we meet up at the studio, we sit there and maybe, you know, talk about life, anything for an hour or two, and then we just start up the machines and just start writing something, some working, and you know, once we are in the process, then we are almost, you know, we stop talking and just are completely in the zone there.
Wow, sounds very nice.
Yeah, it's amazing.
How is the, like, a typical day in the Globe Studios, would you say, like?
Well, I mean, it's it can be different. I have myself. I have a regular job as well outside of music. So for me, most of the times I'm there late in the evenings or weekends. But in periods, I have been there like full time.
Yeah.
And then normally maybe I'll come in at, I don't know, 10 o'clock or something like that. Sit there, write some music. Then we go out for a group lunch with everybody else who's sitting in the studio. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like any other co-working space you could imagine. Actually, it's like people doing all kinds of music. It's not just, you know, dance or techno music. Most of it is electronic in some sense, but it could be, you know, people working on projects, specific projects with singer-songwriters. It could be something that is, you know, for advertising or for video games or anything. So, yeah.
Well, it sounds like you have a good ambience since you could be there for a decade. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is so important to be able to, you know, go into each other and, you know, give each other nice feedback. Even though we're working on completely different types of music, we are all, you know, everybody's fantastic musicians. So they can always, you know, give a great feedback and often, you know, look at something from a different angle or perspective that maybe you wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah, that must be very valuable.
Yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
And could you also tell me, since we got into it a little bit earlier, like your relationship with Parabel as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So Parabel is the booking agency and the label. And the booking agency is and the label is run by Linda, our booker that I love. I mean, she's been the only person that I've actually worked with as a manager. I've never had any other booking agent than her. So it's been super, I mean, it's formed me as an artist in many ways. I always think that I have, you know, many different role models in this business, you know, great artists, great musicians, and other people who have been, you know, going before me and doing a lot of great things, and they have all been really good role models for me. I think it's been a fantastic journey. I think we've done it all together, and it's really fun.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to get into, because we have this little aquarelle painting in the background.
Yeah, right,
and that is somehow one of the foundations of your latest label, Wash.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Could you tell me a little bit about the idea about Wash and how it integrates with these paintings?
So Wash Records was something I've done two releases so far on it, and the idea basically came from the fact that I just picked up this interest of painting aquarelles, and I felt that there was this connection in some sense with the emotional experience of writing music to when I started painting, and eventually I wanted to see, like, is there a way I can actually combine these two things? So what I started to do is to pick out maybe two or three different colors and do a painting out of it, and then try to interpret that into music, and in some cases the other way around. So I might have a written a track, and then I'm trying to explore that the song in a painting. And when you're painting aquarelles, you usually say that you're putting on new washes. So that's where the name came from.
That's where the name came from. Yeah. I think it's a very interesting way to do it. So you can kind of ping pong between the visual and the audio expression of yourself somehow.
I mean, there is so many different. There is a lot of references between visuals and audio, right? You're always talking about frequencies. You're talking about, somberness or melancholy or any other emotion. And these two things, you can feel it both when you're watching a painting or a photography or hearing a song. And there is these references that I'd really like to explore that idea and see where it takes me, basically.
I really love the first release, Ultramarine Blue.
Why did
you start with that one?
That was those tracks were the first ones that I really did for the project. I don't exactly know why I picked those as the first tracks, but they felt very much like they cemented kind of somehow the sound of that I want to be associated with the label. I think they explore the ideas that I have a lot around music and what I think is what my current thoughts is on music and dance music specifically.
And then your latest release came out now in the past month, basically. Quite new. It's Vermilion is the A side.
Yes,
is that exactly. Correct?
Yeah. And Crimson is the other one.
Crimson is the other side. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And that one was also very interesting. It really built up this kind of mental landscape. Kind of, I felt it like it had like kind of crystal sounds in it or something. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. But it was an interesting expression as well. I mean, you came into it a little bit before, but you said that the most important thing for you is that it expresses emotions. Then what would you say that, what kind of emotions would you say that this latest release has been about for you?
In some sense, I don't really like to over, analyze.
Explain it.
But I would say that, it's my feeling of an, especially the A-side track. I mean, that's my feeling of an, dance floor at 6 o'clock in the morning at a big warehouse somewhere. The euphoria, the feeling of being together and going somewhere together in a journey. I mean, but as I said, I don't really. I prefer that people listen to it and make their own mind, and then necessarily having my thoughts and put in there. I mean, I want to have the music there.
It get their own emotions.
Yeah, sure.
And would you say, if you look back over the years of being in, going out and being in dance music, do you have any, you were talking about the euphoria of 6 a.m. or so, do you have some distinctive events or outings that you felt like they made a change in your life like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in some way, every great show or a gig has that effect. I mean, when you're having a great show or a great gig, you're thinking like, oh yes, this is why I do it. This is why I go to the studio and sit there for 6 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours without anybody else there, just me like hammering on and on. Because sometimes you're thinking like, what's the point of it? Why am I doing all of this stuff? Mm-hmm. And then you have this fantastic gig where people are just feeling united and just having this emotional trip together.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, a lot of them are fantastic. But some of them are crap as well. So
that's like, it. It's a mix.
It's a mix. I mean, and that's part of it. I think that's how it needs to be in some sense also.
Mm. Yeah. Were there some artists or shows in the early days that you would say were an extra big, gave an extra big impression on you?
I've already mentioned all of my friends. I think all of them have been in many ways super impactful in my sounds. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to mention other artists that I really think is have had a big impact in with me, I would say Planetary Assault System, Luke Slater. I think his music has been always a very big part of my inspiration. I think it's so cool. I mean, you can play a record from 95 and it sounds like it's done yesterday.
Yeah.
It's so, it's super interesting. I really like his stuff, of course. Mm. I don't know. I mean, it's because I listen to music in some sense as a personal thing and not necessarily as something that inspires the music I do.
Yeah, exactly.
I can sometimes even if you sit and listen to some records just before you go to the studio, it can really ruin the whole session because you're like comparing the work you're doing with that and all of a sudden you're like, wait, am I writing my own song or am I writing that song? What's going on over here?
You get into some kind of special mindset.
Yeah, precisely. So especially if I'm doing like longer, more focused projects, I stop listening to electronic music and sometimes all kinds of music just to, you know, have this clear mindset to not try to have too much of a pre-made image in my head before I go to the studio.
That makes sense. Mm. And what would you say is kind of your workflow when you work on a song? Do you use a lot of hardware or software? What's your kind of approach to it nowadays?
I've always mixed both lots of hardware and lots of software. I've never been like, this is the only way to do it. I know like a lot of artists are like, I'm only hardware or I'm only software.
Yeah,
I have absolutely no... I don't put that kind of limitations on myself unless it's the point of the project, right? I can do a project where I say, okay, I can only use this, this, and that. Mm. And those are the only things I can use.
Yeah.
So I do stuff like that. But in my general workflow, I don't make that much of a difference between working with something as a hardware or as a software. Once you know, how a synthesizer works, you know, the oscillators going into the filters and so on and so forth, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really become that different. Obviously, the main difference is the feeling and tactile, you know, having to be able to touch things.
Yeah.
It affects. It makes a difference. But when I have an idea and I can do it with software or I can do it with hardware, depending on what is the most right thing for that specific project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you have any specific hardware so that you like at the moment that you like working with?
I mean, there are, the main staples of what I always do is like the Analog Rhythm.
Yeah.
Drum Machine is just, it's part of my body when I'm really into the zone.
Mm.
I use the Empress Echo System delay. That is, it's just a fantastic delay. But I mean, one thing I could give a good tip about is the VCV rack.
Okay.
It's an open, what do you call it, when it's open...
open source?
Or yeah, it's open source, exactly. Yeah. Open source, free to use. Absolutely fantastic modular system that I think anybody who's interested in modulars and want to experiment with it should definitely check it out. I think it's fantastic.
Excellent. Mm. That sounds very good.
Yeah.
And in your mind as an artist, what's your dream right now? Where are your thoughts going, like forward?
Well, right now it would be to play again.
Yeah.
So that would be, I mean, it feels almost, since it's been like a year and a half now or something like that, it feels almost like it was a different life that used to travel and stay at hotels and go up late in the morning to play a few hours and then eat a quick breakfast at the hotel room and then just take out the flight back home and stuff.
Yeah.
It felt like almost like a different life in some sense.
Definitely.
I miss the dance floor. I miss playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so funny when I'm talking with my... other musician friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all talking about this. Like, you know, everybody is missing, obviously, going out, obviously meeting other people. But us as performers or musicians, it's been such a big part of life. That it's, when it's gone, it really feels different. You're like, who am I as a person almost?
Yeah. And what is it that you love the most about performing live in front of an audience?
Well, I don't know if that's the difficult question. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to pinpoint about exactly what it is, but I mean, just the interaction you have, right? Mm-hmm. The feeling of you know, we understand each other, we're doing something together, we're going somewhere together. It's just amazing. I think it's I'm super grateful that I've been able to do it. On any extent. So
yeah, kind of a sense of community almost, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's such a cool thing. I mean, you travel anywhere in the world, and when you meet somebody who's into the same kind of music, you feel on some level you already know each other.
Yeah.
You know, you have so many important references. And that is, it's like you can't compare it almost to anything else. Well, you can probably if you meet somebody who has got the same kind of interest as you do.
Yeah.
Of course, you can compare it to something like that.
But it's kind of a universal language in that sense.
Absolutely. I mean, it's fantastic.
And also, as you mentioned pre-recording, you used to test your new songs to an audience, right? Before actually releasing them. And I would imagine that gives you a lot of feedback on what works and what doesn't.
Absolutely. I mean, so normally before any release, I have tried it out maybe for a year, maybe for a half a year. Playing it out, testing it, listening to it. Maybe I need to change these frequencies, or that was too loud, or, you know, doing those small things. Or also, you know, did it wake that emotion in myself that I was thinking that it was going to do? Did it have that type of effect that I was thinking about it? Or was it something completely different? Did it fall flat? You know, these kind of feedback is super essential.
So where do you put your energy now that you cannot play live anymore, or play for an audience? Like, where does your creative energy go, would you say?
Well, I mean, the painting is one thing, right? So that was something I picked up just to, you know, being able to do something. I think that was one way to do it. But other things, I mean, developed personal relationships with friends and with other people, and, you know, also taking the time to allow myself to, you know, miss music. Miss doing all of this stuff, because then it gives also the perspective, like, how important is this? Is this, you know, not just take it for granted and so on.
Yeah, that's a great insight. And if we go into your painting a little bit, for instance, this aquarelle back here, could you tell us a little bit about the motif and, like, the place, or what kind of place is that, would you say?
So, I mean... I took a photo by a lake, but I mean, so when I'm painting, I don't want it to sound too big or important, yeah, because it's not. I mean, I'm still a total amateur, I feel. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm not trying to copy what I'm seeing. This is not a photography that I'm taking, yeah, but I'm taking inspirations from different things that I've seen or my thoughts around it. Mm-hmm. But also trying to, you know, convey the feeling that I'm having around the music or the other way around.
Mm. Make a convergence,
kind of.
And you said you had kind of not taken a break, but you've taken the time to miss music. Do you feel like you've discovered a lot of music recently, or that you've kind of been toning that down?
I think, unfortunately, I think it's been toned down. I mean, it's a shame in one way, but again, I think it's important also to have that break, to allow yourself to have a little bit of a break from feeling this like constant chasing new music, listening to new music, but instead rather letting it come to me in a more organic way, probably. But I would say overall, it's probably been something that's gone down a little bit.
And what would you say for the people that are following your new label, Wash Records, but also are looking forward to your own music? How is it looking? Do you have plans for some upcoming releases again this year? For sure.
We'll see if Wash will come out probably before the summer, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on it right now.
But I mean, will Wash keep on being more of a solo endeavor, or are you also considering having other artists on that label, or how's it?
I haven't really thought that much about it. Yeah. I'm absolutely open to releasing other artists on Wash as well. But I think it needs to, you know, fit the musical ideas, the feeling that I'm going for. I'm absolutely open to releasing other artists as well.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And on Sand, how is that looking?
Sand, that is a project that is very much focused around my music and around the music that me and Jesper do together in our Swedish Non-Boys project. And there I released all of the music on vinyl and as digital. And I would say the vinyl business is kind of in a difficult place right now. And it's also a process that takes a lot of time to do. So right now I don't feel that it's something that I really want to do at this moment.
Yeah.
But it's a project that, you know, all of a sudden you might see the next Sand release and
when the time is right, it just happens. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. It will. I will know when I do, when I write the song and I'm like, "Ma, this is a Sand Sand record track." We'll see. I mean, it's I haven't like closed it down or anything, but it's it's been in a hiatus.
It's just it's waiting for the right tide to come in.
Yeah, exactly.
You could say. And on another note, on the music you're creating right now, do you feel it's a different kind of music than you did a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, or?
Well, I mean, it depends what you mean with that. Obviously, I evolve as a person.
Yeah.
And my feelings are different, and my thoughts about music is different. But also, like, if we're talking about specifically the music, so a few years back now, I released my first album called Vessels of Clay, which was only a ambient album.
Yes.
So not a dance floor album at all. So in that sense, obviously, I do different music than I did before. And I think it's important. I mean, I don't want to be stuck in something, but I still want to have that, you know, the red thread throughout my musical career, basically.
Yeah. So people can kind of recognize that this is your sound in some ways.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. And what did you feel was there something liberating when you did the ambient album?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I mean, the way that I did it was completely different than I do anything else. it was a lot of field recordings. I had set some very specific limitations on it, and also I recorded it all in one go, basically, while traveling in Central America. Mm-hmm. So it was very much very different than any other project that I have done. And that was also my thought always, that when I do my first album, I don't want it to be like I put together 8 of my favorite tracks,
right,
and say ta-da, it's an album. But rather that it's a more of a thought through, and there is this specific project or specific idea that I want to explore from different angles.
Right. There's some other kind of connecting tissue between all the tracks. Yeah. And I love that. I love having that kind of sample based or field recording based approach as well, because it gives it something truly unique.
Of course. Mm. I mean, when you're recording, rain in the rainforest, that you can't do it with anything else. That is exactly the sound that it is.
Oh, that is great. Yeah. But your equipment continued working, whatever, even if you were in the rainforest?
I mean, not always. I had some difficulties, but I really, my setup was extremely minimal. I had, picked out just a few things that I was, that was the whole idea with the project before I even started it. I wrote down a lot of different thoughts and, concepts that, how do I want to do this? And then I just started to taking away things more and more and more until it was just very few things, very few elements left. And that was the only things that I ended up using. But there was some technical issues as well.
Yeah, I could imagine. Yeah. How long were you traveling for at that time?
So I was traveling for 6 weeks.
And you had this kind of main project in mind throughout that.
Period. I mean, that was in many ways the reason that I wanted to do it, but obviously to travel and see and meet people, all of that fantastic stuff as well. But I also wanted to test myself. Can I do it? Can I go away for 6 weeks and record something and work with it and feel that this is what I wanted to do or not?
Love that.
Yeah.
And for anyone that wants to get your upcoming releases and just stay tuned and get your stuff, where should they be following you, or where should they go and get it, just so that they can?
Most of my music nowadays come up on Spotify. So you can just search my name on Spotify.
Really?
SoundCloud is always good. Once in a while I'll be recording a mix for a podcast or something like that. So if you're interested in that, obviously Twitter and Instagram. Facebook and all of that junk.
And if you want to get some of your previous vinyl releases, are they still available somewhere? Or
I think maybe a few of them might be available on Dex.de. I think most of it actually sold out. But I would say go to Fade or anywhere that you would buy a record, you can probably find them, if they're available.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Nima, for coming here this Friday. It's been a true pleasure. And we landed on that note.
Lovely.
So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And that was episode 11 of Electronic Talks podcast. As usual, we're available on all the platforms, YouTube and all the usual podcast platforms. We will also put all the links to Nima's music in the description. So thank you very much, and see you next time.